Yes, good morning all. It is Friday. Bring it on, May 10. Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And last night in the footy, the Dolphins, the Finns. Finns up, baby, 30-24 over Manly. Tom Trbojevic runs into a cameraman trying to save a try. An effort in vain comes out of it with what looks like a hamstring injury. Unbelievable. In the AFL, incredible game. Yesterday, I was on the Melbourne side of the fence. Loz was on the Carlton side of the fence. My face was red as Carlton had a 38-point lead early in the third quarter. Melbourne, inspired by Christian Petrarca, who's an absolute superstar, have fallen 1 point short. They kicked the last 20 points of the match, gave Carlton an enormous fright. But in the end, the Blues prevailed by a point there last night. Freo and the Swans up tonight also. Geelong and Port Adelaide as well. And we've got two great games in the league as well. Penrith and Canterbury, lots of familiar faces there for either club, playing against their old club. And the Eels and the Bronx as well. David Fifita, it's off to the Roosters after all. Loza, Pup, good to see you both. What's doing?
Nice to be seen. Middo, Loz, morning. Morning to our listeners. I got to be honest, I don't like lying to you two. I did not watch one bit of sport last night. I had a race to sleep with my daughter at 7 p.m. and I definitely beat her. So I didn't see anything. I saw some I got up earlier this morning and I've seen the highlights of obviously Manly and especially Tommy, but yeah, apologise for.
Oh, mate,
I got nothing for you. No, I can leave now.
No, I can totally understand that, mate.
I'll see you this summer.
I can totally understand that, trying to get your body clock back into shape. But mate, look, the storyline coming out of last night's game, well, there's two. One was Manly's disappointing performance, again giving up a lead.
Yeah.
A big lead.
Yeah.
They were in front, I think it's 16-4 at one stage and looked as though.
What is that, Loz? Like in footy, like.
It's just your concentration.
Really?
It's just a concentration of attitude. It's a.
But it's happened to them a few weeks in a row now.
A number of times, yeah. They need to be more patient with the football, and I thought they did that a little bit more in the second half. It's like they want to play. They know the style of footy they want to play, which is using the ball, but sometimes you've got to adjust to the conditions as well.
But how can they do it at the start, get such a prominent lead?
Well, then they just go to sleep.
Do they change their game? Do they think they've already won, so they just take the foot off the gas?
Well, yeah, I suppose they get to a 16, 20-point lead, they're playing the style of football, and then they don't show as much energy on the other side of the ball as they do when they've got it.
Yeah, okay.
And if you don't apply yourself in defence, teams are very good at scoring. Mm. And it's a high-scoring game. You can be fatigued quite easily. And if teams get on a roll, they can put quick points on, as the Dolphins did late in that first half. What did they score? Three tries or something
in the last five minutes
yeah. before halftime?
Yeah.
That's unheard of.
I thought there was a glitch in the internet in India. Well, every time I look at the leaderboard and see the Dolphins in the top four, I think, something's wrong with my iPad.
Well, Loz said this week they only need to win seven more games, now six. They're going to play finals, barring capitulation.
Unless they capitulate, they will play finals this year.
He's a genius, Bennett.
Oh.
He is an absolute. Like, if you look at their stock, it's improved from last season, but it's still not top four, surely.
Don't underestimate the coaching underneath him as well. Because a lot's been spoken about the coaches after Bennett.
Yeah.
And he's reputedly a very good operator, Christian Wolfe as well, Loz, who's going to take over this side, obviously, when Bennett goes out.
Yeah,
he's had
a
great apprenticeship over in the
Super
League. Still
big boots to fill. Because Wayne does it differently to most. And he sprinkles that magic dust and he just gets results. And he's done it for a long, long period of time. And they are playing as a committed football team. They've still got two of their stars to come back, or three of their stars to come back. One won't come back this year, I suppose, in Tom Gilbert, but Hemiso and Flegler. And they're just playing with so much confidence, and they're getting the job done. The other storyline is obviously Tom doing his hamstring.
Can you believe
if he's done his hamstring, regardless
I
of
hope it's
how,
the same one.
How serious it is, even if it's the worst case, I think with Tom's history, it's a month.
Yeah. Even if it's a grade one strain, yep. It's going to be a
even if it's, if, a, if it's, the if it's same a 10 one, or 12 day.
If it's the same leg.
Yeah. Like a grade one, you know, 10 days to 14 days. I think you just take that time and have to rebuild him again.
It's so, his sixth in 6 years. Yeah. And from, I don't know the right or left.
No, which, I think you've got to be really cautious now.
Well, do you know the other side? So I did my right, I reckon, 8 to 10 times, and it was somewhere between grade one or grade two. So it's, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks. Hmm. And sometimes I'll just fiber tears. But then my left was the one I ripped off the bone and had to have surgery. So that's the other thing. Even if it is the same side, then you start favouring the other side. Or then you're, you know, when you bend down to pick a ball, like cricket ball, footy, whatever, you favour your strong side. But, mate, one leg can't support your whole body as well. So there's risk on both sides. I really feel for him. The footage I saw, though, Loz, I reckon he's done it before he's hit the cameraman.
I do too. I don't reckon
I don't reckon it's the impact.
No, you don't do a hemi like that.
No way.
I think he's done it just before.
And then he's gone, and then it's
and
too
then
late.
Yeah. And then taken over the cameraman, out the cameraman. I'm with you, mate. I don't think you get a hemi just from knocking over the cameraman.
The only other thing could be when he slips, it could have twinned. But I don't know. When I saw it this morning,
I haven't looked at it closely. Yeah, but I'm a bit like you.
He's tweaked it. He's done it, and then he's hit the cameraman.
Yeah, I don't think it happened he hit the cameraman. Yeah. I think it happened before that.
Feel sorry for him.
My God. You could see when he was walking off how dejected he is. And you know, there's two guys in the game that you wish no ill on. Is Ryan Pappenhausen and Tom Trbojevic.
And you can add Adam Reynolds to that as well. Yeah. When I saw him do his bicep the other day, I was devastated for him as well because, again, there's been talk for the last 2 years, or really since he left Souths, about older, injuries, thing. And I know you do with age, but these blokes, those three blokes, they just can't get a run. They can't get a long run at it.
No, and you know, yes, Reynolds with his age, but the other two aren't that old, you know. But they've just had horrible luck with injury. And it is a tough game, and you expect it. But sometimes these players, you just want them to be able to have a sustained run where they get no injuries so you can actually see their full capabilities.
And you want and enjoy, the kids want to see those blokes on the field as well. They're the superstars that inspire, you know, the young boys and the young girls to want to play the sport. Yeah. The actual game misses those players when they're out injured. Mm.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point too. But seeing Tommy walk off the field. But Manly, they came into the season with massive raps. And you know what? I've got to say, I'm disappointed. Mm-hmm. I'm really disappointed with the way it's unfolded over the last couple of weeks. Because they really had no excuse.
Well, they started unbelievably well. Well, you know what? They started how we expected them to start. Like before the start of the season, all three of us sat here and went, mate, these guys are, they've got a good team.
Yep. They're going to improve out of sight.
Yeah.
They're going to improve out of sight. And you got that feeling after the first sort of month of footy. You thought, oh, yeah, no, Manly are going great.
They're on here.
They're on. And they've got a good squad. They're put together. But the last couple of weeks, it's just unfolded
that's
badly.
That's not a great. We're just looking at this footage now.
It's his right hamstring, isn't it?
That's not a grade one, Matt. The way he's walking, he's in trouble. You hope it's not surgery. That's the concern. That's when you're walking like that.
That's probably what, six weeks?
Yeah, it's probably grade two. And then the other thing about that depends on where the tear is. So you hope it's in the middle of the belly of the hamstring, so right in the middle, which is the strongest part, so it can repair. If it's either end, you know, it might be better to have surgery because then you're guaranteed to get the recovery. The other thing as well with Tommy, when you do a hamstring a number of times, sometimes the problem's the actual tendon more than the muscle.
Yeah.
And the tendon takes even longer to heal. So there's so many question marks. And they've got experts. They'll be having all the MRIs, all the scans. They know his body so well. But you're right. You're 100% right, Loz. The fact that he's had hamstring issues, you can just about double whatever somebody else would take. You could just about double the time frame to get him back on the park.
Yeah, I think he's got to take that time. Like someone's just texting about how long's up grade two. Like I'm just trying to rack my head.
Well, I know grade one was if you done
it about
your
10
days,
to 14 days. Yeah,
your 10 days for a grade one, but that's like a tiny little tear.
Yeah.
And it the other thing as well, he would have scar tissue build up from past tears.
Yep.
There's so many things. I don't think it's as black and white as, you know, somebody that's done it for the first time.
No, and obviously you have to find out all those other things that you just spoke about, what's happened. But for me, looking at it now, I would think at least 6 weeks.
When you see him walking like that, I reckon that's at least a grade two.
Yeah.
You're hoping he doesn't need surgery, and yeah. I reckon you're right. I reckon he's 6 weeks for sure.
So you're saying straight off the bat, he plays Origin, it's game three at best. Maybe at absolute best.
At best, probably. Yeah. And again, we don't know all the information, but just seeing him walk off, if it's grade two, I'm thinking even if a grade two takes you 4 weeks, he's going to have to take six. Yeah. Hmm. So I think 6 weeks to 8 weeks.
Oh, we're doctors in here.
There's so many. That's exactly right. There's so many. And the other thing is, everyone's body's different as well. Like, Tommy might have this, like some athletes, they seem, it's like they heal quicker than others.
Yeah.
But I just think because of his history, they will have to go.
Well it's amazing, isn't it? Because he did all that reconditioning program.
He went to the States, didn't he?
So will he have to do that again?
Well, that's, mate, I don't know.
Sort of go through it, like, even if it's a month injury, go, well, we're going to recondition your body, like your legs again. We're going to take you through this same process.
Well, I'd say the club will probably go, you can do it.
Is it long term?
We'll split the cost or you're paying for it. It's not cheap.
But even back here now, they'd have people that would run that program for Bill Knowles.
Hmm.
Yeah, someone from the support staff would have went over. They would have watched, seen, got the program, come back here to Australia and implemented it. So I'm assuming
they'll go through that again. We probably don't give enough credit to, but think back to how draining and boring and hard it is to do recovery and rehab when you're injured. When you go into that, oh my God, I'm injured mindset, it can be a dark place. It is such a lonely place. And you train, you do all your training on your own. You spend hours and hours with physios and doctors. Like, mate, your whole world changes from compared to when you're playing. And to do it over and over again, that plays a significant role in why you decide to walk away from a game as well.
Yeah.
It is so hard to keep getting up.
That's why your support staff are so important. And Ronnie Palmer was the best.
Yeah.
Palmer.
A lot of people say that about
Ronnie. Ronnie was just great with people that had injuries because he's the most positive bloke
that's what
you'll
need.
ever meet.
Yeah.
And he keeps it fun, upbeat, positive. Like, you don't go into that, in particular when you're with him, you don't go into negative mindset.
Like that. Did you meet Duncan Kerr?
Yep.
Yeah, so Duncan, who used to work for Manly. Yep. I reckon he did strength
and conditioning
for Manly.
Yeah, he did, in the 90s.
Years ago,
he was part of Bozo squad, he was.
He looked after me like gold, whether he was with Cricket Australia, Cricket New South Wales, or we become great mates. And I reckon he saved my life at stages through those dark days where he was such a positive person that you knew every day, you wanted to see him to put that smile on your face. Yeah. And he always made you feel you got this. You'll be better for it.
Ronnie Palmer was exactly the same. Yeah. And there's a place for those guys in all sporting teams, I think. Because don't underestimate the importance they have on the individual, because the individual will walk in and they'll be at their lowest point and they'll be negative and they're going through a lot of things in their mind. But if you've got someone there, mate, it's going to be all right. And keep reinforcing the positives. Mate, all of a sudden you come out the other side.
You need it through those periods.
Most definitely.
You definitely need it.
And Finn's up for the fight, back page of the Courier Mail. But David Fifita's the consistent headline across, the major papers. Back page of the Australian, Fifita call leaves the Roosters crowing. It's Courier Mail as well, Roosters coop. Fifita quits Titans to ink $3.3 million 4-year deal with Glamour Club. Back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, Roosters snare Fifita as Panthers fall short, and the Telegraph as well. Chicken coop, Roosters seal $3.3 million Fifita deal. And Maxi from the Gold Coast on the text line points out, morning boys, just on Fifita, has anyone talked about him rejoining Holbrook at the Roosters, considering that part of his get-out clause, was to leave if Holbrook wasn't there, and you make a point there. So, what, an average of $825,000 a season, according to these reports, was enough to get the 24-year-old over the line there at the Roosters. And he first informed the Titans he was leaving yesterday. Then he's knocked back the Panthers' apparent offer of around $850,000 a season for 3 years. So he's got 4 years at the Roosters. Des Hasler spoke yesterday, said he thinks it's unfair to say Fifita's abandoning ship, that he made a decision, that it's part of the game, and the club wishes him the best. What do you make of it all, fellas? Lozza? How surprised that he chose the Roosters?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm just, look, you get two options that he was weighing up. I think it was always a fait accompli that he was going to move. I think it sounded like he was always on his way out of the Titans, and he just had to weigh up what he thought was the best option and where he thought he could best win a competition. Now, he's made that decision to go to the Roosters, and I think Justin Holbrook would have played a part in that. The Roosters are very persuasive when they come to signing players and convincing them to come and play in their system. I'm sure Penrith would be disappointed, but they'll move on. They've got a lot of back rowers, the Roosters, so it'll be interesting to see whether that or what that means for, say, an Angus Crichton, or whether they still look to sign him. But David Fifita, look, in a really good system, he can be dynamic. He's got to make sure that he fixes areas of his game. And I know people are critical of his work rate, but that's not the style of player that he is. It's like a back rower that runs a good line. Well, David Fifita's not your back rower who's going to jam into a line off a halfback. He's a guy that, you know, either drop him under or give him early ball, or he's got tremendous feet and power. I think he's a wonderful player. I thought he had his best Origin series by far last year. I think he was terrific in that Origin series, and I think this year he's coming into that, coming into Origin in good shape. So I think it's a really good pickup for the Roosters. And, you know, we spoke about them losing a lot of players, but some of their young players are going to be better next year as well. You know, those young boys coming off the bench, the front rowers, White and May, you know, they're ready to replace Weir Hargreaves. Although you can't replace him, they'll certainly be good players to put in and inject into that team. But, yeah, I think it's it's always a good signing when you sign quality, and David Fifita is not everyone's cup of tea, but I'd have him in my squad.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't go to Penrith. Yeah, because of what we spoke about yesterday, his partner lives out that way.
Well, she's from out that way.
So you'd imagine family's there. The talk of Nathan Cleary, you know, being the number seven and his leadership around the club, Penrith's success. I'm surprised he picked the Roosters over Penrith. But, again, that's what I said. Like, I think maybe the Roosters deserve credit as well. Like you said it yesterday, if they want someone, very rarely do they miss out. So credit to them. And that's the business. Like, nobody can have a go at him about leaving the team.
Well,
like,
the only thing is,
it just is what it is now.
The only thing is, he's a marquee player, right? We agree he's a marquee player.
Yeah.
He's just turned 24. It's not often you get 24-year-old marquee players that have already chalked up three clubs.
I think those days are gone.
I get you.
Because I love the one club player as well.
But I'm with Pup.
The days are, like, mate, now you have a look, like, in all sports, you got people that finish with 10 teams. Like, I could not, if I left Western Suburbs, my old man would kick my backside.
Yes, but not marquee players.
Well, I just think that's the business now. I just think it's the, if you, like, I think the opposite. If you stay at one club now, it's a miracle. That's unheard of now. You know what I mean?
But, you know, a lot of clubs just, their contract runs out. They can't fit them under the salary cap. They move. We're talking about a marquee player who was literally
just turned 24. He's gone different reasons.
Yeah.
He left from the Broncos to the Titans for money, and he's leaving the Titans for the Roosters for a premiership. I can't blame him for that. So it's not like he's been moved on because he's a bad egg. You'd be concerned if that was the case.
But if you're a coach, are you worried it's just all about him?
No, I'm worried about, if I'm coaching, getting best players putting in my system.
But every coach is going to look at it like they can change. If there is any hint of that, every coach, part of your job is to say, no, my job is to get the best out of him and fit him into our group because he's that good a player. I understand what you're saying, and I completely am on your team with this, but I just think the way sport is now, those days, I just don't think the player looks at it like that at all anymore.
And you've got to get your head around. See, I struggle with, say, million-dollar players, because I go, worth $1 million. Because when I think million, I'm thinking probably 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Thinking, yeah.
But it's like property, mate. That property that's you bought exactly for $6 million is now $10 million.
So when someone's getting 1.2, that's just the going rate. That's just the system. That's just how we all operate now. Yeah. And it's like with players changing clubs. I wouldn't have thought James Fisher-Harris had changed clubs with all the success he's had at Penrith. Why does he want to? He wants to go back home for families. So there's always different reasons for different people. But I understand your point. Three clubs, 24. Mm.
And just because it's a bit hard at the Titans at the moment, long rebuild.
Yeah. Well, I don't. But I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that is the case.
Well,
I actually think what Desi said yesterday, even though he probably has to say that as coach because he's lost his player, a main man, I actually think he's right. I don't think it's anything to do with. I think he's 100% looking at right here, right now. I want to win a grand final. And he had two unbelievable options thrown in front of him.
Yes, 13-53-53-04-19-767-272. So 30-24, the Dolphins over Manly there at Suncorp last night. The big story being Tommy Trbojevic appearing to have suffered a hamstring injury in the second half. And Jason Saar, by the way, a shoulder injury in the first half. But let's start with a bit of magic. Trey Fuller-Loz. Channeling what, Phil Blake? Who were some of the best chip and chasers ever? Chip, chase, regather.
Oh, Phil Blake was
probably the best.
He
was the one, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the best I can remember.
How quick was Phil Blake off the mark?
Yeah.
Mate, it was like as he kicked it, he was already through the line.
Yeah, he was very good. Scotty Gale was another one. Yeah. I actually played with Scotty, no longer with us. God bless him. Mm. But yeah, those two sort
Alfie
of come
was grubbers,
to Alfie,
he?
Al was a little short
little
grubber.
Grubber more
rather than a chip and chase. But no, Phil Blake, Scotty Gale were the two best. But Trey Fuller, didn't know much about him. He's only tiny, but certainly puts his body on the line, both with the ball and without. There was a couple of times there last night, he just went in really hard as a defender and stopped Manly from scoring a try. So it'll be interesting to see what they do when Hemiso comes back. I'm thinking maybe ease him back in with that hamstring injury. A couple of reasons. Fuller's going well. Do you get rid of him? Or do you put him in for, say, Avarello and then have Hemiso and Farnworth as your centres and just see how Fuller continues to progress, but also easing Hemiso back into the contest where he's not doing as many Ks at the back.
He's returning from
a hamstring injury.
He's going to play in the centres if he plays Origin anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, and then you give him a couple of games there and then you can move him back there when required. But because it's such a specialist position, well, they're all specialist positions, but fullback in particular, and with Origin coming up, and if Hemiso's not there, why would you sort of move him now?
Yeah, good call.
To give him that extra bit of experience for when Hemmer's out. So I'm thinking he may ease him back in as a centre rather than putting him back to fullback just because Fuller's going that good. Well,
probably try of the year so far. That was sensational, wasn't it? And it was part of that period where Manly lost the game, as Anthony Seibold said after that 5-minute period before half time. It cost them the game, in Seibold's own words.
There's no doubt about that. And they gave Manly opportunities to win too. They made a lot of errors, the Dolphins last night, in their own half. And they were just giving Manly plenty of opportunities, but Manly just couldn't capitalise there at times.
Brett Mullins, genius chip and chase there. Probably one off though, wasn't it? We're talking about people who did it like...
Yeah, Mullo scored. Yeah. I think it was a double chip against the Broncos.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Double chip, yeah.
Without a doubt, Brett the Mullins best at the chip and chase. Boy Bunny says Tricky Trindle as well.
Tricky, yeah.
Don't forget Turvey, says Bulldog.
Yeah, Turvey.
Speed to burn, also great cover defender, doing it a bit tough at the moment, of course.
Yeah, no, Turvey, he's a great cover defender, Turvey. There'd be others out there, but Phil Blake for me.
He was great. Now, let's get to the negative.
Oh, no.
The
now, where's
no,
this?
Leave it, no. Mate, it's Friday. We don't have to go there.
No, because it was honestly an embarrassment. That penalty to Manly for the fairy tap to Tommy's face last night was an absolute embarrassment, says Hatchie from the Heights and Craig the Truckee as well. Please tell it as it is today. The standard of refereeing and in the bunker is embarrassing. Last night's farce is why fans are being vocal about the refs. Klein and the bunker last night proved they are not first grade standards. Week in, week out, it's getting harder to watch. I love footy and don't follow either team, but the game just continues to shoot itself in the foot. So frustrating. But that penalty in particular, Loz, what was that? That was a disgrace.
It wasn't what I was hoping last night. I thought they would have looked at it and gone incidental.
You can't be like it's rugby league.
when you challenge for something like that, and they allow it to happen, people now when they make an error, if they think they've been tapped around the face, they will challenge.
Exactly.
They will challenge,
even if it's just the it's a touch.
Touch. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're going by the letter of the law. Was there high contact? Yes, but I thought it was incidental. Oh. So that's just play on, isn't it?
We talk about
common sense, but I was the same, and my chat group was going off, as you can imagine. You just sit there sometimes going, "What are you thinking? Just let that one slide." That was just not even. You wouldn't even call it a love tap.
Not even close.
It was a brush.
Well, there's another text here. Says, boys, I hope Tommy recovers from having his three eyebrows knocked out last night. Seriously, Bromwich should get 8 weeks. And the standard of refereeing last night was so poor, it's embarrassing for the game. That's on the text line. No name to that one.
I'll tell you what I did see last night. There was an adjustment in player attitude towards refs.
Well, they got the edict.
Yeah, they did get the edict. And it was better. Hmm. I must say it was better. And it's always been the case that the captain can approach the referee, and yeah, they didn't do it a lot last night, but they did it in a respectful manner, and it looked better as a spectacle. You're watching, seeing how they treated the officials, and I thought they did it well, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come over the weekend and into the future, because yeah, your captains can always have a conversation with the referee, but what they were doing recently was just getting way out of hand.
Mm. Yeah, particularly the end of that game we saw last Saturday afternoon. Shane, morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, you were talking about player loyalty. I prefer moving on. I just think it comes back to the junior level. Parents aren't loyal to clubs anymore and they'll move their kids anywhere. And I think that's where the players these days really go, well, you know what? I don't have to be loyal. I'll go where the money is, and I've got no problem with them getting the money. But where, in the end of the day, do you have your club legends or your players that stick around for 10, 12 years? And, where does it all end?
Yeah, Shane, I agree with that. And again, I'm not one going to be critical of players chasing money because they're in this industry for only a short period of time. But to counter that, I will say this, that clubs get rid of players just as much as players leave clubs.
It goes both ways.
Both ways.
I agree.
And clubs, when your use by date is up, they move you on pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So as much as we love to romanticise about being a one club player and having so many of them, maybe if there was incentives. Mm. Not only at the grassroots level for development players coming through your system, but if you have someone that has been in your system for 9-10 years, there is a dispensation with your salary cap. I'm just throwing that out there. I haven't really thought about it, but that's been something that people have wanted the game to consider for a period of time. But I think that's the only way you're going to see that happen. Although you look at, I was going to use Penrith. There's some players at Penrith that have stayed, but there's others that have moved on. And a lot of that is because their market value. And quite rightly, because they've earned it.
I got that sense when Desi spoke yesterday. You could hear in his tone that he's been sacked. You could tell straight he's been sacked from a club.
Yeah.
So a club's flicked him when he was on contract or could have stayed. So that's why he wouldn't dare yesterday have a crack at the player.
No.
Because he's like, hang on, mate, we can't have the cake and eat it. When the club's sick of a player or doesn't want the player to fulfill his contract because they want to go somewhere else, they're okay to get rid of the player. but now we're not okay for the player to leave us. You can't have the cake and eat it. So that's why I think you'll hear both coaches and players these days bite their tongue, because that's just the way
it works. And I think we're starting to get our head around it, even though we don't like it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't like, especially mid, you know, even the conversation mid-season.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, with the clauses,
like, what if the young kid's got Fifita jersey for the Titans?
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah, but it's, you not David Fifita.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Is it?
We don't like it, but it is what it is.
The club have allowed him to have those clauses put in his contract, so you can't have a crack at him.
Yeah. And Jack makes a point, like you mentioned the other day, players' idols are American sports stars, probably the biggest stars, LeBron, who has moved everywhere to chase a title, says Jack. So that's another thing to keep in mind as well.
I was just going to say that. That's probably the other thing. I think we probably underestimate that a young boy or a young girl's idol is the player as much as the team, probably more so than the team. So if their favourite player is David Fifita and they change clubs, then they get another jersey. Mm. You know, I think we, I don't know, I think those, again, those days are gone where, you know, the Magpie, Western Suburbs Magpie jersey was, I love that. Mm. And yeah, you have your favourite player and your number on the back, but you supported the team as much as the player. I think these days, it's all about the individual player that these people chase.
The Wallaroos, well, they start their Pacific Four Series campaign tomorrow, Saturday, 4:55 p.m. Allianz Stadium in Sydney there against Canada. And they've got matches against the USA and New Zealand to come as well. And back in gold joining us is the Wallaroos number 8, Piper Duck, joining us. Piper, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to speak to you again. Last time we spoke to you was just before the Super W final with the Waratahs. And how long, just before we get onto the Wallaroos, how long did you have to enjoy that triumph, which I'm sure was very satisfying?
Yeah, no, it was extremely satisfying. Definitely had a couple of days there with the girls, but, you know, it was definitely worth, the celebration was definitely worth it. It was a really good campaign.
And you've got a new coach now there at the Wallaroos in Joe Yap. And I guess describe how different this regime is and the strengths that she brings.
Yeah, she's absolutely incredible already. She is such a straight shooter, is probably the way to put it. But she just radiates high performance. The attitude that she's already brought into the camp and I suppose the culture shift around that high performance mindset. And also just how good the group feels right now. I've only been in camp for a week and there's already been such a shift in momentum and the way we are performing as a group and connecting as a group. So I just think that has a lot to say with Joe coming in and the way she carries herself, which is radiating through the group.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that, connection that you've all built under a new coach. Mm. But what about on the field in terms of structure and strategy? Has that changed a lot?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's changed a lot, but it's definitely changed. There's just a level of, how would you say it? I suppose that's just, again, tying to connection. We've also got Chris Deleuze here as well, who has such an impressive attack mindset, who has given us a very good structure leading into this campaign against Canada on such a short turnaround, only having that week to prepare. But it really doesn't feel like a week with what they've put in place for us. Then with Jo, she focuses specifically on defense and her defensive strategies, especially in combating different teams and specifically coming against Canada, looking at our ruck and how to protect that. Yeah, it's brought another level to the game, another level to how we're looking to play and also opening opportunities, but having a free-flowing game. That's probably our main goal here. And I think with having both Chris, Jo and Sam Needsy as well, I think, it's been really impressive to see that already coming to fruition a little bit.
Yeah, and obviously, we all love to win every game we play, but with a new coach coming in World Cup next year, is it about, building and getting the style that you want to play right now so when you get to the World Cup, you've nailed it?
Definitely. I think it's both. It's multifaceted because obviously we're focusing on now and playing well now, but there is a level of building. When you are building to a World Cup, you are putting things in place for long-term goals. We have a strategy in place for this game and the games coming, but there isn't always that bigger picture. So we have already put things in place which will help us now, but by the time we hit World Cup and further games before that, they will be building every game, and I hope that is seen by people also spectating as well. They can see that continual growth, but also be impressed with what we put in the paddock this Saturday as well.
Piper, you were announced captain last year, and very unfortunately, was struck down by injury and was out for a period of time, and force lock Michaela Leonard, she's set to captain the side against Canada tomorrow, which is, I'm sure, is tough for you. But how did Joe Yap explain it to you?
Yeah, definitely tough, but also I think Mac is absolutely exceptional. She did an amazing job last year when, unfortunately, given the opportunity, I couldn't due to injury, and she just, yeah, really took with both hands and has done so well with the girls. But I had a really good chat with Jo, and it's just honestly the fact I've been injured and it's now time to focus on me coming back as an athlete and also being the best teammate I can be for the girls around me. And again, like, it doesn't change how I play, just having a title. It doesn't change what I do, but I genuinely believe Mac is exceptional, and what she's already done with the group within this week and the period beforehand has been incredible, and I'm really excited to play underneath her.
Yeah, and you take on Canada on Saturday, and we know that, you know, coaches always have their different style, and sometimes coaches worry about themselves, as in the group and what we're doing, rather than the opposition. With Joe, has it been more that way, or is it a combination of knowing what we're going to do but also analysing the threats from the opposition maybe even deeper than we have in the past?
Yeah, I think it's a really good combination. I think we are definitely obviously focusing on ourselves, our strengths, and what it looks like for us to be the best team on the paddock, but also understanding that there always needs to be that level of analysis of the other team. So we talk about knowing the other team better than they know themselves. That way, when we go out against them, we know what to expect. There's a level of predictability in such an unpredictable landscape, an unpredictable game. So that's something we're definitely focusing on. Just, yeah, Canada likes to play a very fast game, especially in attack and around ruck time, and just identifying that and how we're going to combat that has been really important, but also using the processes we already have in place, which will make us a strong defensive team, but also a strong attacking team as well.
So, as mentioned, Canada, then the USA and New Zealand. What are the Wallaroos' expectations this series, and yourself personally as well?
So, for us, like, our goal is, well, our mantra is team first, just as athletes. That is our goal for the year. But our major goal is to be a top four nation, like a top four national side, which I genuinely believe we can be for this campaign in general. Obviously, you train to play well and you train to get a good result. So, that is the plan for this campaign, looking to make the Tier 1 for World XC. And then for myself, honestly, it has been a really rough 18 months, since I put on the Australian jersey. The last time I got to was at the 2022 World Cup before I was injured. So for me, even pulling on this, getting the opportunity to pull on this jersey this weekend for me is absolutely massive, just to get to wear the gold again. I really didn't mind if that was starting or off the bench, but I just really want to pull it on. And for me, it's just getting minutes, being on that paddock and loving playing the game and being around the girls and having such an incredible opportunity to represent my country when it is something that can just be taken away so quickly. So I've had a lot of reflection time, and yeah, it means a lot to me.
Yeah, and Pipey, it's also can be a good thing for your mindset, the stuff when it's been taken away from you, because at times I think we all can take things for granted and you just assume that this is going to happen to you. But sometimes adversity makes you that tougher and stronger person, and you don't take anything for granted, and you just appreciate everything that happens to you.
Oh, definitely. My mindset in this last, well, I was injured for 12 months. My mindset in that time period has definitely shifted a lot. My why shifted, a lot of things shifted, but as much as I obviously wouldn't want to go through that again, I don't want anyone to go through that. It did help me a lot mentally, and I do think I'm stronger coming out the other side of it. And yeah, that appreciation for the game, but also the appreciation for the girls around me and the community that you have within the game has probably been the biggest eye-opener for me, and how much I really love it and why I play rugby and what I do when you haven't got it. So yeah, I absolutely love the game, and yeah, it's made me, yeah, really, I suppose, appreciate it more.
Now, she's not in your 23 tomorrow, 16-year-old centre, Shalom Sooso. But how unique a talent is she? I mean, to be 16 and picked to play for your country, or at least in a wider squad, is quite unique. And I guess it's inevitable she gets a chance.
Oh, she is absolutely insane. She is, a freak athlete. It's my first time. I've obviously played against her during Super W, but it's my first time actually getting to meet her properly. And the lines she runs at training, the way she sees the game, she hasn't had that much time with Union, but she's honestly incredible. Like, the lines she's running, and she's hard to stop. And she's just got such a strong mentality. And what I mean by that is, you wouldn't think she was as old as she is. She's fearless. the way she attacks the ball and the way she attacks defense and just will take anyone on. I think that says a lot about herself, but also the way she sees the game.
Well, Piper, really looking forward to seeing how you and the Wallaroos perform, not just over this Pacific Four series, but for the rest of the year leading into a World Cup next year. Go well, good luck, and get the W tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Now, Brad Rosen's coming up soon and on the show this morning, by the way. Brad Rosen, Ali Mosley in the next half hour, Adam Pengilly after 7 o'clock, Phil Moss to talk football after 7.30, Brad Davidson, his mail, and that Coast meeting, of course, at Gosford has been transferred to Newcastle tomorrow, just with the track of heavy 10 and more rain forecasts. They've made the call. Racing New South Wales to move that meeting from Gosford to Newcastle tomorrow. There's been some distance changes there as well. Races 4 and 6, 6 being the cup, go from 2,100 metres to 2,200 metres, and race 9, 1,000 metres to 900 metres with the configurations there at the Newcastle course. And, well, bet stand too for TAB customers, but if you've got any queries to call customer service. Yvonne Sanson from Fox League. Just after 8 o'clock, Michael Maxworthy will get his Queensland mail for Hollandale Stakes Day at the Sunshine Coast tomorrow as well. There's been quite a few texts in regards to our great mate, Luke Marlowe. A very unfortunate circumstance. As Neville points out, are you aware of the circumstances surrounding the cancellation of Marlowe's boxing event? Well, the company that he's doing it with, which has been around for quite some time, I know quite a few people who've done fights and training regimes through Corporate Fighter. Well, the company just folded on Wednesday like that. Snap, bang, gone. So Marlowe, it's such a shame because...
I spoke to Marlowe yesterday.
Okay. What did you report back then, Loz?
So I spoke to Luke without talking out of school and I said, is your fight still happening? And he goes, no, big shock. And then he said, company's folded. And he said, they've got some questions they'd like to ask.
The company's got questions?
No, Marlowe's got questions.
I bet they do.
Like, where's the money?
Yes.
Would probably be a big question.
Yeah. Mm. And I said, mate, how long have you been training for now? And he goes, 8 weeks.
Poor fella.
And I said, you'd be filthy. And he said, yes, I am. Very much so.
But he hasn't been drinking.
No.
He's been super disciplined with his diet.
Everything. So
yeah, he's all in. You've got to be all in.
Yeah.
Wow. And he has been.
Yeah, but he's not happy.
Yeah, fair
he's
enough.
He's not a happy
Well, especially
camper.
A week and a half out. That is
so is the company
so
in, gone into liquidation?
Well,
I don't know whether it's
I'm
gone into liquidation.
I'm just reading from a story here from news.com.au. It ceased operations. It announced on its website, effective immediately.
Okay.
Yep. So
that's
there
not
you
good
go.
For anyone that's got money tied up there.
Nah.
Yeah. Staff terminated, customers out of pocket.
Yeah, it's not
doesn't
good.
Sound great,
no,
does
that's,
it?
No, that's not a good place to be.
No. So, yeah, massive shame for our man. Can't we get him on the Kambosis Lomachenko undercard on Sunday
maybe,
in Perth?
Maybe a bit late.
We can get him there to watch it. That's about it. That will be a good fight. I'm looking forward to that
Yeah,
as well,
it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
He'll blow himself up this weekend, Marla. I reckon he'll have a crack on the
make
drink.
Up for the 8 weeks he's been disciplined.
I think so. Is Alicia riding this weekend?
I'm sure she would be.
I might text him.
Text him and see.
He'll be on the couch Sunday, dusty as.
Yeah, because I reckon...
Watching someone else fight.
Because I reckon after the disappointment of having that happen...
Fair enough, too.
And the discipline you've shown, you know, the commitment...
He might go the other way. He might be finished. He might stay on his health kick and stay off the piss.
Yeah,
might just say, this is the new world. This is the new Lukey.
No, I don't think so.
No, blow it out.
I think he'll have a blowout. Although he might be working this weekend.
Yeah, it's a chance. Alicia's got a big book at Kembla on Saturday.
A mate of mine has just texted me too, saying that he knows a bloke that's done
plenty.
A fair bit of cash too.
Oh, in that particular mate. Company. Mm,
in that good. Particular company.
The factor says, I'll fight Marlowe on no training. There you go. What about your weight class, though, there? The factor?
I'd be careful. I've seen Lukey in some footage. He knows what he's doing. He's whatter thin.
Yeah.
He's very lean, but he knows what he's doing. Mm. He knows what he's doing. Good technique.
Sounds grim what's going on with that company.
Yeah, that doesn't read very well, Loz.
No, it doesn't.
Sunday in Perth. Kambosis Lomachenko, who had, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, fellas, their stare-off, stare-down. nearly 3.5 minutes. Lucas Big Daddy Brown had to get in between them at one point to try and split them apart. So all part of the theatre we're so used to pre-fight. And Kambosos is adamant. This is retirement for him, he said. And Lomachenko is adamant. He doesn't care who walks out when. The Kambosos camp says that's been a drama this week. The old walkout. Who walks out second? The pup. Man. So, yeah, standard stuff in boxing. So Kambosos is set to walk out first, as it stands, but his camp wants a coin toss at the weigh-in. The weigh-in, of course, will be tomorrow, won't it? So they want a coin toss.
I reckon it's pretty simple, this stuff. Who's getting paid the most? Because generally, in the big fights, one fighter's getting paid. It's never 50-50.
I'd say it'd be Lomachenko, okay, but without knowing. So then,
if he wants to walk out second, let him walk out second. Like, at the end of the day...
Well, he doesn't care, apparently.
Well, then, there you go. Play
who
on.
Who knows, though, seriously.
I'd love to see George win, but I don't think it will happen, will it?
Well, the market has Loma. Lomachenko's $1.12 with Tab. Kambosos is $6.
I think it'll be a huge upset if he does.
Well, Kambosos was a similar price when he beat Teofimo Lopez.
Yes,
won
there you
the world title.
There you go.
What about that fight with Devin Haney 2 weeks ago?
Garcia.
And Garcia has tested positive, didn't he?
No, he did.
The performance enhancing
B sample.
No, I read something last night that the B sample has come back clear.
Right.
He's in the clear then.
I'll have to check if the B sample's clear.
Because I think Garcia had posted something last night saying, jamming up your backside media.
Jeez, it wouldn't happen that often, B sample coming back.
Was it negative, would it? Yeah, like, I don't know exactly. It sounds like the tests were done well before the fight. So what Garcia was saying, if I'd tested positive, why did they allow the fight to go ahead for starters, number one? Mate, it's caused absolute chaos. It's massive.
Because I was just thinking, what happens then with Haney?
Although they
didn't fight positive for the title, did they? Because he went forward overweight.
So it sounds like he's got traces of Osterine. It's still in his system, which is barely anything, just traces. But he has been cleared of a banned substance, a billionth of a gram of Osterine, which is the banned substance. The old traces in the system without it being a fully fledged positive test. Oh, boxing politics, eh? The Indiana Pacers, I see, have filed a complaint to the NBA over 78 calls or non-calls in their 130-121 loss to the Knicks in Game 2. Brad Rosen, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. What? A club is upset that they lost the game and they're blaming the referees? That's shocking.
No,
I can't believe this.
It's only in basketball, Bradley.
Brad, is there any place in American sport that can replicate theatre anything like Madison Square Garden? You had Reggie Miller in the house there yesterday. Reggie Miller, I mean, you know, there's an ESPN doco on Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks. It was, I watched a lot of the game. It was just unreal. What'd you make of it?
I never really loved the Knicks because of the Jordan era, and I loved what he did at MSG. And you know, like you just love the theatre that you say. But I kid you not, I am so praying for New York to win this championship because I just want them to keep playing at home. This thing is phenomenal. You've got all the A-listers there, the crowds there, and Jalen Brunson is going to work. My goodness, that guy. I mean, they got him at $100 million for 5 years. That is the cheapest deal in sport at the moment. He is tearing it up. And the best way to explain it, and we all know, we've all been around sport long enough, he is the best fourth quarter player right now in the game. The way he closes games for them is phenomenal. Brilliant. Loving the theatre of New York.
Yeah, and the Pacers coach, Rick Carlisle, was ejected. Certainly indicated his side isn't getting a fair shot from officials, but it's different now. It goes back to Indiana.
Smart move by the coach. That's what you do, you know. Like, you know things aren't going your way. You're 2-0 down, and you got to do something. So throw it out there. Can you imagine New York now coming into the Pacers? This thing is going off. Sit down, popcorn ready, get your drink. Game 3 coming up, baby.
What about the Nuggets, Bradley? I mean, they're 2-0 down against Minnesota, and like they were favourites to win the whole thing. Can they respond, bounce back?
Look, after the Lakers series, I thought they're looking great. Jamal Murray went down injured and came back in game two, but then he's throwing a heat pack on the floor. Like, I mean, this is how frustrated they're looking now. I believe he got a $100,000 fine, which is about $3 for you and I. But and he didn't get suspended, which I'm actually quite shocked about. But he was the closer for in the Lakers series. So now they've got to go on the road 2-0 down. Give it to Minnesota. They're playing fantastic basketball.
Is Josh Giddey on today, buddy?
Yeah, OKC. I think they play today. So they're looking good as well. And I mean, so they should really. There's no reason why they shouldn't win that series. They've got a nice little draw going on. And then, well, I thought they were going to play Denver, but you just never know now. Look, look out for Dallas. They are a good team. They didn't shoot well. Luka's better than what he played in game one. But OKC playing well at the moment and great for Josh Giddey.
In that series, have we got three Aussies a part of that?
Yeah, correct.
How did the two from Dallas go?
Yeah, Josh Green actually got on. I think he had 11 points, hit a couple of threes, playing really well. Dante Exum not playing as many minutes, but he's had a fantastic season. He's really helped them out through this year. And you add Josh Giddey into that. So the three Aussies who will definitely be in Paris, those three, no question.
We've had some awards given out during the week as well. Rudy Gobert of the T-Wolves, Defensive Player of the Year. Victor Wembanyama, Rookie of the Year. And Nikola Jokic of Denver, named MVP. That is his third. And when you look at the list of players with three MVPs, Magic Johnson, Wilt Chamberlain, Moses Malone. Kareem's got six, the great Michael Jordan with five. And that puts him in some serious company, doesn't it?
And he deserves it. I mean, the way he plays, I mean, a lot of people don't love the style, how he's slow and, you know, like the way he plays. But the footwork, the play, you know, the guy averaged, what is it, 39-9 or something like that. He is a phenomenal player. And sometimes you feel when players are that good, oh, does he deserve it? You know, this guy's had a great year. It's irrelevant. The guy is a flat-out baller. Very, very much deserves the MVP, no question.
What about the Celtics, mate? Do they just get the job done against the Cavs in game two?
Yeah, look, the Cavs, I think they were lucky to get Orlando in that series. I feel they were in much weaker when you look at, like, the Knicks and that Philly series and now the Knicks and the Pacers. And, you know, they've sort of, you know, scraped through. But Boston, bar them having some, you know, mental demons that I think will come to them later on, they should clear that series up. And, oh, man, I'm hoping for Boston, New York. That'll be a ripper of a series if it happens, conference final.
So you've written off the Nuggets now, Brett? You just think they can't win it?
You know what? The next game will tell me, to be honest. Like, right. I mean, look, you can, you know, you lose two games. It's not the end of the world. I said I thought the series would go seven, and I didn't think teams would lose a couple in a row. But I can see Denver coming back and winning two. This is what they're like. So I just wonder how bad the injuries are for Denver. They look like they're a little bit walking wounded. They are very, very good enough to come back. This next game will tell me. But, geez, it's going to be tough when you're 2-0 down to come back from that.
Just some other news I see. The Aussie women have qualified for the 3-on-3 tournament in Paris as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Annalie Maley, who was the MVP of the WNBL the last season, she played in that series. She was actually a commentary part of the commentary team for the NBL. Great girl. Her dad, Paul Maley, I used to play against when he played in the NBL. So great win for them. They were so excited. Fantastic. And, yep, they're off to Paris. So, well done.
That could be us. Why don't we sign up for 3-on-3 comp? Us three v whoever.
Where's it play?
Is your shoulder going to be right to dunk, though, Loz?
Can I just ask? I saw Loz a dunk at Sandy's biscuit the other day, but that's about all, mate. But can I just ask, what sport are we playing? No way, mate. Basketball. Yeah.
Oh. The skinny pins aren't any good, Brad. My calves.
I can only
walk
up and down the court as well because I'll do a hammy. So I can't run.
I'll drop bombs.
Well, if someone picks up the physio cost, I'm in.
Yeah, there we go.
You just shoot them from outside the three-point line.
Yeah, we've got one job. Get it to Brad. You do the rest, buddy.
You could incorporate this.
I heard you talking
of...
before about A samples and B samples. Yes. Mate, at 5'11" and 70 kilos, you're not going to be surprised. The Asada just walked straight past me. You're fine, mate. Don't worry.
Well, whatever you're on, it hasn't been working.
Do you want a sample, guys? No, we're good, brother. Let's move on.
I remember in my last game, I got tested, and I was like,
You're kidding me, aren't you?
Mate, I was in no rush to get it done.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I usually like to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
But I just sat in the dressing chair.
Made him wait.
Yeah. Well, you got, and I reckon I had about seven or eight cans. And the bloke, poor old bloke, he's just sitting there. I feel bad.
You got to keep an eye on you the whole time as well.
He would have walked away going, what about this?
Arsehole. Yeah, he kept me in the shed.
You were busted and to go to the toilet. You just hung on to it.
Yeah. I'm not leaving this. I want to stay here and soak it all up. Yeah.
So they got the A sample back and it just said, yep, he's drunk. Well done, Lozza.
It said VB. Come up bright yellow with a massive VB logo.
But your Olympic segment that we gave you this week.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the 3-on-3.
Yeah, you could incorporate that.
All right, I'll be in charge of the 3-on-3. Yeah.
The VB 3-on-3. Oh, Lozza's captain.
Thank you, Bradley. Have a great week.
Go, Nick.
Ali Mosley from Sky Racing. A very good morning to you. How are you, Ali?
I'm good, Mido, except everything's changed last minute now that our meeting's been moved from Gosford to Newcastle.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for the Gosford Race Club, but we've just had all this rain, haven't we? It was a heavy 10. I'll just read what Racing New South Wales said yesterday. Due to the current heavy 10 rating of Gosford Racecourse and with the weather forecast of further rainfall, including on race day, it has been decided to transfer the Gosford meeting to Newcastle, where the track is currently rated a soft 7. That was yesterday. What do we do? That's, I guess, all we could do, Ali.
Yeah, it's a real shame. We were all watching yesterday and awaiting the decision. And just given how much rain we're meant to have today and tomorrow into the race meeting, I think they've probably just obviously tried to preempt that and transfer to the wonderful drying track that is, or it handles it, is Newcastle. So a real shame, but I think they'll be back bigger and better than ever next year. But I really always enjoy that day, so it's a bit disappointing for them. But nonetheless, we get to race on Saturday, so I suppose that's a tick.
Have you had to change your opinion on a few horses with the changes of track, Al?
Well, I suppose given that the fact we had that suspicion that it would be racing with them getting off the rails, so you probably wanted to be perhaps against horses who'd ended up drawing inside. That might change to a certain extent. So if anything, it's maybe just brought a couple of the others into contention a little bit more, who I've been keen on, and the first of which is Imperial Force coming up in the first event there. He's hard to miss, this guy, this colt. He's been super impressive so far for Chris Waller, and he's heading up to Queensland following, you would imagine, a good run from himself tomorrow, and I think that brings him right into it. He's had a tick over trial since keeping him up. He was just cruising through his gears. That was on a soft track, and I think he looks the real deal, Imperial Force, in the first race on the program. And then there was actually another horse who I was keen to sort of steer away from, given that we had that, or should come up with that inside draw, and now that probably doesn't look to be necessarily a disadvantage, is Scarlet Oak. So Zach Lloyd aboard, he had four actually there yesterday at Newcastle, but all was well with him over the mile. I think she looks really well suited and less of a concern now that she's drawn barrier three. So Scarlet Oak and Imperial Force are two that I think have come right into it now that we don't have that race at Gosford.
Okay, the coast itself, just seeing, it looks like with the change in track, all these markets are just being, well, the system's just rebooting, I think, for this meeting. But who did you fancy? Tavvy Time had been the favourite, of course, for Chris Lees.
I thought he was a great bet, Tavvy Time, there. I thought he was really well suited. The team were pretty convinced that he'd be able to handle the heavy going. We've seen him on a soft track. He gets back to the mile, which is his suited trip. It all just set up really well for him. I think it should still suit him, but I think it brings a horse like Grabini right into it as well. So pretty keen on Tavvy Time, and I think Grabini's a nice each-way chance there. So Tavvy Time at his home track, I think, will just play in his favour even more.
Have you settled on anything in the Takeover Target Stakes?
Well, my old mate Finawan's in there again, so I decided I wasn't going to let him go around without having something on him. Again, our prices have all gone down, but I think maybe he was about $19 when I had a look yesterday. My only query with him was that Adam Hieronymus, despite how great he was when we saw him last start, the way that he rattled home for fourth, he said he actually didn't probably love the going. So that was probably the only query that I had with him. But the blinkers go back on again, and he does have a jockey now there, Chad Schofield. He didn't have a jockey yesterday. So 54.5, I think I'm going to have something each way on Sinewan. And I think it could be just one of those races that'll throw up some interesting results. Obviously, Steffi Magnetica, dual nommed for the Sunny Coast, or here. I have a feeling they might elect to go here. So Steffi Magnetica, hard enough to beat, but I'm going to have something each way again on Sinewan.
What are your best bets anywhere, Ali?
I just Yeah, I had something little on Al Bellagio Miss to place in the 1,000-metre race. I think she's been going really well. Robin Price have been doing a phenomenal job with all their horses they've been bringing to town here. And again, I think yesterday maybe she was about $20, so we will have to wait again and see what happens there. But she's had 7 weeks between runs, and I think that she should be the one that's over the odds when the markets do reopen. So I'll have something each way on Bellagio Miss.
Yep.
And then I thought Anne Again with the inside draw, which was against Anne Again last time, but went super last time we saw Anne Again. So I think will represent some value. I think Anne Again comes up in the last race, perhaps. I've just got myself out of order. Race 10, number 15
for our listeners. So race 9, number 4, our Bellagio Miss each way, and race 10, number 15, and again.
Yeah, who did have that inside barrier, which I was against probably somewhat at Gosford, but now I think it plays into it. And then just heading to Queensland, I'm pretty keen on Kovalika there. I know he's been, I guess, maybe a little bit disappointing this preparation, but he just was such a star in Queensland last winter, and he's obviously been battling through that Group 1 level here. There's no Pride of Jenny this time, and I think Nashua Willa can really get the best out of this horse. So I'm pretty keen on Kovalika there in the Hollandale.
Okay. Kovalika in the Hollandale. We've got Al Bellagio Miss. And just a reminder too, that race 9 with Al Bellagio Miss is now a 900-metre race at Newcastle. And a reminder, anyone who's had a bet for the Gosford meeting, you bet stand, but call customer service if you have any queries. Ali, enjoy. Stay dry.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.